You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
This rhetoric about make America great again. Tell me when America was great and we'll go back there. I'm going with you.
Critical.
Hang on. Let me change some words here. All right. Ready?
Adults with religious confusion who truly believe in a higher power that created us and actually cares what we do with our penises and vaginas should be treated with care, compassion, and kindness, but must not be officially affirmed in their confusion, no matter how sincerely held.
Fuck you.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You talk about being hot. Well, you sure not gonna be hot. You're gonna have a flame shooting out of your vagina. You're gonna need asbestos panties to stop that.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. This is episode 31 of Sarah Talk. Today's podcast is brought to you by our awesome patrons at patreon.com and by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Sarah Talk. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Take advantage of this special promotion. Go to audibletrial.com/Sarah Talk and download your free audiobook today. Today's episode is comprised of some stories that we recorded last week that went over on time for our show in episode 30. So today on the show, we talk about wacky Christian miracle cures for random diseases, charity food banks requiring patrons to participate in religious activities in order to receive food, and the Mormon Church launches a gay advice website aimed at supporting gays by not supporting them? So without further ado, here are last week's leftovers. The next story is from ABC News, and this was from a broadcast just Friday on 2020. A supposed miracle cure for autism is really a kind of industrial bleach, federal prosecutors say, but that hasn't stopped people claiming to be archbishops of a church from urging desperate parents to use it on their autistic children. This is a poison. This is a high-strength industrial bleach, said Paul Wang, the senior vice president of Autism Speaks. Yet, it's estimated that under the guise of the Genesis 2 Church of Health and Healing, the, quote, miracle cure has attracted thousands of desperate American parents who have given it to their autistic children.
What the fuck?
Now, look, I get it, okay? I know we've talked about this before. If I knew, and in this case, take the word autism away, right? But if I knew that my child was going to have a thing that was going to be debilitating for the rest of their lives, a mental disability, not able to walk, I'm going to have to push them around in a wheelchair, they're going to be fed by a tube, that kind of stuff, right? If I knew that going through the pregnancy, I'm not entirely sure I would want to bring that life into the world.
Right.
And part of that is because you kind of have this expectation when you go to baby making. And right. And you expect to have normal, healthy children.
It's a picture in your head because right. Everything you see from the minute you talk about families, there's this society has this picture that's just in your head.
Yep. And we do the same thing with gender too.
Well, yeah.
Right? The minute you know the gender of the child, you open a box with blue fucking balloons and you have a little party.
Right.
And then at that very moment, you assign roles to that child.
Yep.
Based on what's between its legs. Mm-hmm. And we do the same thing with this mental illness.
Sure.
I say all of that to say this. I understand that a parent of a child with autism is desperately trying to find anything.
Yeah.
To help their child. I get that.
You'd move mountains for your kid.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think, you know, like, we've gone through it with our son and his ADHD, where you get to a point where you are, you're like desperate. There's some, we've got to do something to help. I mean, anything on the autism spectrum is difficult to deal with because it's so intense. And it can be mildly intense or extremely intense, but it's always intense for the child.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then on a different level as a parent. So I can understand that I'm desperate. I need whatever it is I have to do, I'll do it. But God damn it, do your homework. Don't give them bleach.
It really scares me that people would give this to their kids because it is a poison, said Wang in an interview broadcast Friday on ABC News 2020. Please go watch this 2020 episode.
I'm afraid I'm going to get angry at the TV.
You already are. We're not even a quarter of the way through the article. The church's leaders say people who take the cure should not worry if they suffer side effects of bouts of diarrhea and nausea. They say it's a sign it's working and that a few drops will not cause any harm. Wang said it is no different from torturing autistic children. I would agree. Quote, a lot of kids with autism do not have good communication skills, so they can't say that it's hurting them, end quote. Like many parents of autistic children, Roland Eggers looked into the claims being made for a miracle cure. You thrive on this illusion that you're going to somehow fix your kid or that one day you're going to un-autismize your child, he told ABC News. And let's stop for a minute there because this is the stigmatization of mental health in America. This is what happens when I posted a thing earlier today about mental health. It was basically like you don't need antidepressants and all of this shit. You need a bicycle and some fresh air. Hello? No, that's not how it works. And we talk about this every fucking week, but there's a vast misunderstanding of mental health in this country.
Absolutely.
That we've got to get under control.
Well, for some people, it might be a bicycle and fresh air. But there is a greater majority of people that may need something more. And you have to get professional help. You can't go to your priest or your rabbi or your faith healer or your psychic medium. You have to go to somebody who has studied science and has been to medical school and understands the complexities of the human body and how chemical imbalances create these things. There have been people studying autism and everything on the autism spectrum for years and years and years, and they haven't found a cure yet. They haven't even figured out exactly what causes it. So this really makes me angry. And for people that have kids that are autistic to just go and throw it all in and go, yeah, okay, fine, miracle cure, and not do their homework, that's child abuse. Anything that I give my child, I'm going to do the research. With the baby, when she started eating solids, I didn't put anything in her mouth if I didn't put it in my mouth first.
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to give your child bleach, you better be prepared to drink it.
Oh, and this video of this guy, I'm telling you, you've got to go watch this because he does. Oh. He's mixing the stuff up in his little glass and
whack
he calls
job.
It the fucking sacrament.
He needs to go to fucking jail.
I'm trying to find, there was another video that I saw that a friend of mine posted. Yeah, there it is. All right. Here's what it said. One day you'll look back and realize that you worried too much about things that don't really matter. And you will actually be glad things didn't work out the way you once wanted them to. So stop it. Stop overthinking. You can't control everything. Just let it be. And it goes on. But look, as a person who has anxiety, believe me, if I could just stop it, I would have fucking just stopped it years ago.
Sure.
You can't just tell somebody who's depressed feel better.
You can't assign those words to somebody who's going through a mental break or an anxiety attack or like stress of that nature. Those words are for teenagers that are having a moment with their boyfriend in high school. That's what those, that's a Tumblr word. Yeah, right. That's not real life, people. This is not real life when you're an adult and you have the option to take antidepressants or you want to go drive your car into a tree.
Right. And you shouldn't feel bad for going to a doctor and getting the help you need.
Absolutely not. You know, like that's the thing. Like I struggle with this a lot as a parent. I've got to be there for my kids. Mm-hmm. And whatever I'm going through, I got to get through it. And however I have to get through it to be okay for those kids, that's what I need to do. nobody's going to make me feel guilty for going to a therapist. And nobody's going to make me feel guilty for having a shitty day and wanting to go and curl up in my bed and cry about it. Because sometimes you just need to do that.
Right.
But then there's a whole nother level of that that a lot of people don't understand, where you have to go get help.
When one day curled up in bed crying turns into 2 weeks or not getting out of bed or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
Like, when there's no end to it.
Like, I think I never really understood the degree of it until after I had the kids and I experienced a bit of that postpartum depression, because that's intense. Mm-hmm. And I was very lucky that it wasn't that bad.
Right.
But like in the moment feelings, you're out of control. And I couldn't imagine, like, I know women who've for months gone through that, and I couldn't imagine having to do that and not trying to get help.
Right.
And then to be made to feel like there's something wrong with you and you just need to pull your bootstraps up.
Oh, I'm so tired of that.
Yeah.
And even with our own child, like the way we parent, I often recognize, and again, if ADHD is indeed on the autism spectrum, it's on the end, right?
Right.
On the one end. And so I will recognize when I'm tired and frustrated, I don't parent well.
Right.
I don't parent well.
Yeah.
I yell at him when I should calm down myself and talk through it and pull him out of whatever situation it is that's got him worked up. And I recognize that. So I can't imagine having a child with autism. And I can understand, to wrap up the last 30-minute ramble we just did, that I can understand why people are looking for anything that will help.
It's a desperation.
Right. The man who says he discovered the miracle cure and founded the Genesis 2 Church is a one-time gold prospector from Nevada, Jim Humble, who calls himself an archbishop and claims he came to Earth from another galaxy. What?
Jim Humble?
What?
He doesn't sound humble.
Oh, my God.
And another gal. No. Is this the next Church of Scientology?
Yeah, he's got it. Well, he's probably got a condo on Kolob.
Probably.
Just in case. But as wacky as he may sound, it appears that he and other church leaders have prospered using slick internet videos promoting the, quote, miracle cure, MMS, and calling it a church sacrament available for anyone offering donations.
Of course.
One website offered 5 sets of chemicals to make MMS for donations of $95.99.
That's insane.
Right?
Like, what kind of...
But people bought into it.
That's crazy. Like, he should go to jail for multiple reasons here.
Definitely.
You're running a scam.
Yep.
You're poisoning kids. You're making money off of it.
Tests conducted for ABC News show the miracle cure is little more than a chemical that, when mixed with citric acid, produces chlorine dioxide. Federal prosecutors said it would be useful to clean swimming pools or kitchen countertops, but does not cure autism or anything else. And I watched the part of this video, and this guy was touting, like, oh, it cures cancer and it cures all kinds of stuff, not just autism, other things too.
Kills you and then you're done. You don't have it anymore because you're dead.
Ben Miser of the U.S. Department of Justice, who has overseen the prosecution of at least one person selling the miracle cure, says they might as well be selling Clorox. You wouldn't drink Clorox, so there is no reason you should drink MMS.
And this is the part that scares me. You think about these people that have been duped by this and really believe that it's the miracle cure and get the mindset that, well, I must not be giving my child enough of it because it's not helping. And so they increase the dosage. What in the world?
Well, and here's the thing. Think back in religious history. This is just another snake oil, right? Religions have been peddling this crazy miracle cure bullshit for holy water, for Christ's sake, literally, for a decade, for centuries, for millennia, for however long these stupid religions have existed. They've been peddling this bullshit.
Just sick. It's just sick.
From Christian Today, it was a case of a shameful wrong send that resulted in the tragic death of a pastor. Now, I should stop and say that, right, I don't relish in the death of anyone. However, you see what this guy did. Pastor Letsego of Christ Embassy in Limpopo, South Africa, reportedly hanged himself in shame after he mistakenly sent photos of his genitals to members of his church using the WhatsApp texting service in mobile phones.
Ooh.
According to the online news source Live Monitor, the married pastor intended to send the pictures to his mistress, which makes it even better, who it said is a member of the same church.
Oh.
Worse, the news source says the pastor sent the message that reads, quote, "Wife is away, it's all yours tonight," end quote, along with the photos. To his utter dismay, he reportedly realized his mistake right after pressing the send button on his mobile phone. Members of the church group who received the photos and message were shocked and outraged. They tried to call up the pastor, who wouldn't answer. The pastor then left the group. The following day, he was found hanging in his rented church house, Live Monitor reported. Pastor's antics have always been a cause for concern. He was always seen in the company of one of the deacons named Miriam, and we suspected there was more to their friendship than meets the eye, said one of Pastor Letsego's congregants, who declined to be named. Quizzed by his wife and congregants, he would shrug off the allegations and say, as a pastor, he was a father to everyone, and Miriam was his favorite daughter.
I bet she was. Giggity.
Now, he talked about depression. He talked about having his name on there. He said he was just very, very, very sorry, Gibson's wife, Christy, revealed. We got two stories left. Is the goal of a charity food bank to help feed hungry people or to win converts to a religion? This comes from the Raw story. It seems that some Christian food banks are chafing at new regulations telling them they cannot force people who come in for a meal to participate in religious activities. Penn Live reports that some homeless shelters are now refusing to accept food donated by the government after the U.S. Department of Agriculture pushed out a new regulation earlier this year that barred organizations receiving food from the federal government from requiring people being given that food to attend or participate in religious activities. In an interview with Penn Live, Bethesda Mission Executive Director Chuck Wingate said that his food bank wasn't forcing homeless people to pray, and insisted that his decision to stop accepting food from the government was a stand for religious freedom. "We don't force our faith on anybody else," he said, "but we find the whole idea that the government's going to come in and tell us what we can and cannot do in our own facility to be out of bounds, especially in matters of faith."
Wow. Okay.
However, Jennifer Powell of the Central Pennsylvania Food Bank told Penn Live that the directive from the Department of Agriculture was put in place because, quote, "there are some programs that mandate Bible study or a Christian prayer before the meal," end quote. She also noted that Christian food banks that merely offer people the option of prayer aren't violating the regulation. Indeed, New Hope Ministries Executive Director Eric Saunders, whose shelter is continuing to receive government food donations, told Penn Live that the new regulations weren't that big of a deal to him because, quote, "while we'll always offer prayer, we'll always offer spiritual counsel for those who want it. We'll just never make it a requirement."
Well, good for them.
But it, you know, there are so many more
I know
that are forcing.
And it's like, for me, it's kind of hypocritical because if the government is providing food, then why are you making these people thank God for this food?
Right. Thank the goddamn government. Thank me. I pay for it.
Taxpayers. Right. Exactly.
You know, this is just another example of mission work, right?
Mm-hmm.
These Christian organizations that go to fucking Haiti after the storm and, oh, we'll help you rebuild your tin shack that's going to fall down in the next
here,
storm.
Read my
but
pamphlet.
Here, read my pamphlet.
Yeah.
And that's why I support organizations like the Foundation Beyond Belief.
Right? Right.
And Doctors Without Borders, because these are groups who will go in and help rebuild and support these places without saying, but you need to read this book too.
They don't have a religious
there's
agenda.
No agenda.
Their
right?
agenda is to actually come in and help.
Like, and the insane
there's no ulterior
thing,
motive.
The insane thing about that is that if you listen to any religious person, they will tell you that their agenda is to help people.
Mm. Well, yeah, they want to help people right into
come to
their
God, right? Yeah. They want to help people find Jesus.
Mm.
The last story that I have comes from Pink News. The Mormon Church, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, preaches a rejection of homosexuality unless members remain celibate for life. The religion also rejects the children of gay parents unless they actively disavow their parents' lifestyle and has been linked to a number of dangerous gay cure practices. Earlier this year, Mormon leader David A. Bednar, who sits on the Quorum of 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, insisted that the church has no gay members. He said, quote, "First, I want to change the question. There are no homosexual members of the church. We are not defined by sexual attraction. We are not defined by sexual behavior. We are sons and daughters of God, and all of us have different challenges in the flesh." End quote. Bednar insisted homosexual afflictions don't constitute asexuality because Mormons will try to cure them. In a surprise move this week, the Mormons launched a website aimed at converting gay people. The Mormon and gay website initially appears gay-friendly, but digging slightly deeper, it actually claims to be able to help Mormons manage their same-sex attraction, code language used by gay cure practitioners. It insists, quote, "The attraction itself is not a sin, but acting on it is. Even though individuals do not choose to have such attractions, they do choose how to respond to them."
Oh, there's video. Fun.
Yeah, so, and I haven't seen any of these. This will be a first for me here as well. Oh, and you'd like to follow along, the web address is mormonandgay.lds.org. So we come into the website here. I don't really care what's on their menu, but the very first video is God Loveth His Children. Oh, and then Tanya's story. Maybe we'll watch Tanya's story. Frequently Asked Questions. Articles about other people's stories. More videos. Oh, great. This is going to be so much fun. Where do you want to start?
Brothers and sisters, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are under a sacred obligation to follow the example set by the Master. When the Pharisees asked the Holy One of Israel to name the greatest commandment, the Savior responded with the pure and simple truth, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The two great commandments to love God and love our neighbor are at the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though we live in a time of great contention and division, we should not let division enter our families or our congregations. For he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me. The Lord Jesus Christ reached out with love, and we are invited to follow his example. We have given much thought and care to better understanding the experience of same-sex attraction and making sure individuals who feel such attraction and their families feel welcome and part of the great worldwide family that is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I now speak directly to church members who experience same-sex attraction or identify as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. We want you to know we love you. You are welcome. We want you to be part of our congregations. You have great talents and abilities to offer God's kingdom on earth, and we recognize the many valuable contributions you make. If any of you are unclear about where the church stands on these issues, we invite you to please take the time to view the material published at mormonandgay.lds.org. Prayerfully seek the Spirit to provide the answers you seek, and be assured that God loveth his children.
Oh, God, this guy makes me want to puke already.
I was going to say, where's the spoon? I need to gag.
According to Tanya Miller, coming out is a process, not an event. At least that's what she witnessed with her son Andy, and despite the spiritual ambiguity that still surrounds being a gay Mormon, the important thing is that Andy feels safe being himself, something he had never experienced before.
These are just bags and menus, and stickers or business cards, just places we've been or lived, so like spam. Like we used to live 40 minutes from the spam museum.
And factory.
In Minnesota, where they offer spambles.
My name is Tanya Baker Miller. I did my undergraduate degree in family science. Andy was kind of a happy surprise. Like 6 months later, we're like, huh, Oh, I don't just have the flu. Huh, okay. Well, here we go.
I'm Dylan Miller. I'm Andy's dad and Tanya's husband. Andy is amazing. He's loyal. He's brilliant. He's kind. He has always been everything that a parent could ask for.
I love being Andy's mom. He's fabulous. He's triple majoring in international business, aviation management, and Spanish. And he works full-time. He's in our Elder's Quorum presidency. And he's the best big brother. He's amazing.
My name's Andy Miller. I'm 21 years old. I've been a member of the church my whole life. And I'm gay.
This woman has a degree in a field that should show her how to handle this.
She's too indoctrinated to do it the way her science degree tells her.
That's what I don't understand. How can people of faith who also have scientific education, how do you put those two next to each other and make it hold water?
I have no idea.
I hate saying that that doesn't define me, because it does. It's a big part of what defines me, but just like with any other person, gay, straight, or otherwise, there's so much more to me than that. Coming out is a process, and that's sort of really how I took it. There was no fanfare, no press conference.
Andy coming out was completely pragmatic. Basically, he just wanted me to stop nagging him to date. And so we're driving one night, and he said something that made me say, "Oh, are you gay?" And he said, "Yeah."
It, like, took her a sec to, like, register what I had said.
I said, okay.
I imagined this, like, theatrical, beautiful moment where she wraps her arms around me, says she loves me.
I said, well, what about, you know, those girls that you seemed close to?
Her reaction was not what I expected.
Oh, my God.
Supermom over here, right?
Coming out is always awkward. There's no
good way. No. No fucking supermom. No.
Mm-mm. No.
What about it?
My son is bearing his soul about this thing that frightens him, but that is so a part of him.
And you were a dumb cunt about it.
And then after that, of course, there was the question of how does this affect my life? And neither of us had a good answer at that point. The fact that she didn't know, I think, was a little scary for me.
We planned our kids' lives long before they're even born, right? They're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And then you kind of get a curveball with any child and you go.
And that's what we talked about earlier.
Right.
You do, but we shouldn't. Yeah. And that's the problem.
Like, that's the thing. You can have all these ideas. It's okay to have ideas as to what you want them to do. But when your kid says to you, "No, I don't want to date a girl. I want to date a guy." I don't like that she refers to it as a curveball.
Right. Like, because she wasn't prepared for it because they're taught.
Right. I don't think that anything your kid comes to you with, unless they come to you and say, "Hey, mom, I just killed a man."
Right.
It's your kid coming to you and telling you something and giving you a piece of them. Like, they're trusting you with that. And to view it as a curveball, that just breaks my heart. Because I like to think that anything my kids come to me with, I'm going to embrace them.
Right.
And whatever it is, no matter how I feel about it, I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But you have to remember that the religious community teaches that the number one importance is God.
Right.
And then family.
And it's so stupid.
Which is disgusting.
That's why people commit suicide. That's why teenagers commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I'm not in charge, am I? All you can give them is love. I don't have any answers. I want them. I ask all the time, like, so, Heavenly Father, here's what
There's your problem. You're asking the wrong fucking person for answers. Maybe go to a therapist.
Yeah, not your imaginary friend.
I'd like to know today. Between Andy and Dylan and I, we learned to just laugh. And that helps. That absolutely helps.
It requires a lot of faith to sort of put your life in God's hands and say, "I trust you to sort of guide this as it needs to go."
I don't think anyone who's straight could imagine the pain of somebody like Andy, who has a testimony, who can't connect the dots. And so how do I reconcile that? I went to the temple again and again and again and again and again and again and again.
And you still came up with nothing except, Well, you know, maybe God will be okay with it, with him feeling like he wants to fuck other boys, as long as he doesn't actually fuck other boys.
The sick part about this for me is this is on their website for their people to be an encouragement to their people that, look, you can be gay and be a Mormon.
Right.
When people on the outside are watching this and feeling sick for this guy who cannot live his authentic life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell when he's talking about it that yes, he can't talk about it.
Yeah. You got to go to this website like, and look at these videos.
His body language is saying so much to me right now. And he's not confident. When he's talking about just trusting God, you can hear it in his voice. But when you're looking at him say it, it's a whole different thing. You have to go look at this. This is sad.
And mostly I left with nothing. No, like, aha moments. But my testimony is not going anywhere. And I think that that was the main gift for me from that time. My experience is mine, and everyone else's will be theirs. And for me, it was very much coming to understand the atonement in a way I had never conceived before. My relationship has become much more personal with Christ through this experience.
Except that you asked him for help, and he fucking ignored you.
Right.
After you asked for help again and 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 again.
The scripture in Proverbs about trust in the Lord with all thine heart became our mantra. And
that's what fucked up looking snowman.
It really is.
Talk about the
that
snowman.
That needs to be your cover photo for this episode.
God, that's amazing.
I was like, it's like, looks like a gremlin with a penis nose.
Shit.
It has a neck.
We didn't have all the answers, and maybe wouldn't ever on this earth have the answers. But to go with what we know, which is that we loved our son, and we knew Heavenly Father loved Andy.
I went to the temple constantly, and the question I took every time was, why? And I eventually learned, it's not the question. The question that you can ask, that I can help you with from the Holy Ghost telling me this is,
oh my God,
how can I be the mom that this child of God needs?
She looks like this, the most pretentious mother you've ever met, whose house has to be impeccably perfect at all times. And
That's the vibe I was going to say. Like, she hasn't stopped smiling this whole interview.
Right.
And it's like this creepy, like, I'm about to cry, but I'm on my antidepressant medication, so I can't stop smiling. Like, that's what she looks like.
Oh, my God.
It's a very forced smile. Like, even in her smile, you can see the frown.
Every single person, every child, there is a plan for. And I don't know the answers, but he does. And when I reached that point that I could handle, okay, spiritual ambiguity is where I'm going to stay. And when I'm in that space, I can say, how? How can I help?
We're all deserving of each other's love and support. And that, to me, is what Christ Church would look like. And not just in the context of LGBT issues, but in others as well. Taking things a day at a time, not focusing on tomorrow, because we can't know what things will be like tomorrow.
So this clip, he's at the church and shaking hands with all the waspy old men, and the uncomfortable look on his face. Like, he knows every single one of these people is judging him.
I wonder how many of those men have molested him. I mean, that's what I think when I see old men in a church is, I wonder, you know, when kids mostly, this guy's a grown man, but I don't know.
And not to say that that has anything to do with his sexuality,
no.
But
just, no, I'm just going
that,
there.
Just that that's rampant in
like
the church
it is
in general.
Very, but I think when I see somebody that's uncomfortable in a situation like that, I wonder why. So is it he's right. gone through stuff, or is it just because he doesn't trust
them? Well, it makes me wonder if it's, and I don't know, if you're Mormon or ex-Mormon or you want to talk about it, call us. 224-40-SARAH. Give us a call. I'd like to know, do they handle things like the JWs do? So imagine, right, this child comes out to his mother, and the mother is going to temple and asking God the wrong question over and over and over and over and over again, right? At what point does she go to the faith leadership to say,
hey
I have a problem that I need your help with? And so they bring him into a back room, and they go through that process. like, again, like, all I can see in this kid's face is that he knows that they know.
Right.
That everybody he looks in the face, he feels like, is looking at him like, ugh, faggot.
Right.
That's the pain that I see in his face.
Mm-hmm. How we'll be feeling, what information we'll have that we don't have now, whatever it may be, just brings a lot of peace and allows you to make the most out of the present, focusing on what I can't control, what I know the most about.
In all of the clips of him and with these church leaders or the men in the church, he never makes eye contact. Right?
Makes things better in the long run.
So right now, Andy's he's 21. He's active in the church. Today, he doesn't plan to change that. He's also wise enough to say, I'm doing this day by day, and says, you know, I don't know where I'm going to be in 20 years, just like the rest of us don't. My job as a parent is to love my children. No strings attached. It just is. Nothing can change that.
Except the Bible. And when you read the Bible, there are strings attached. Unconditional love does not exist the way the Bible claims that it does.
And I don't know how the Mormons deal with things. Like, right now he wants to be involved in the church.
Right.
What if the day comes when he says, doesn't. You know what, Mom, this is bullshit and I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go do whatever.
Right.
Like, then is her, my number
one
job.
Are they going to shun them?
Is she going to shun him because he's walked away? You know,
we are in a constant prayer about this, and that will continue. I can say that.
Even though you get zero results from doing so.
You know who else is in a constant prayer? Starving kids in Ethiopia.
Yep.
Abused children in all kinds of churches across the country and world. And all those people that got their houses ripped apart during the hurricanes in Haiti. So, yeah.
Get in line.
Join the club.
We are in a constant prayer about this, and that will continue. I can say that I will always love him and want the best things for him.
Dylan and I love him. Nothing about that will ever, ever change. He will work out the details of his mission here on Earth with Heavenly Father, and we're here to just support and love him day by day. We just do it one day at a time.
Right? Okay, so we're going to wrap it here. That's going to be our show for this week. Thanks for listening in. And please, go to this website and do some digging around and send us some email and stuff. I'd love to see what you guys find digging through this website. It was mormonandgay.lds.org.
And with your thoughts attached.
Yeah. Let us know
how
fucking insane this thing is.
224-40-SARAH,
224-407-2724 is the number to call. You can leave us a message. You can send an email to producer@saratalk.com. And that's going to be our show for this week. Tune in next week where we'll have more crazy, stupid religious bullshit. And I'm sure next week we'll have election coverage,
we're going to have an election.
I'm not sure when we're going to record, but maybe we'll have a special patron-only election episode.
Work the details out on that one.
Catch you on the next week. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/saratalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/saratalkradio and on Twitter @saratalkradio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.